This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. To Buenos Aires, Reuters. Argentinian President-elect Javier Milei arrived Tuesday morning, our real time, at the presidential residence in the suburbs of Buenos Aires to meet outgoing Peronist leader Alberto Fernandez to begin a transition that looks to be complex. I welcome the professor because we're talking about what the BBC described as a political earthquake. Milei is associated with just about everything that the Peronistas are not practicing. However, we've seen a break from the Peronista power over these last decades, and it has not ended happily for those who defy in some fashion the dominant understanding of the state and its employees, the unions and their employees. I'm told that half the country sometimes, this sounds an exaggeration, can be on a government check. The weight of the loans to the IMF, the inflation rate at 150%, all that suggests that a change of direction is vital to the people, but still it hasn't happened until. Professor, a very good day to you. Meeting with Fernandez, Milei. He has a style that included in campaign mode carrying around a chainsaw, going to cut through the regulation, cut through the control of the unions. He also has spoken of three things that I can understand simply. Privatization, especially of the energy company. Dollarization, to deal with the inflation. And at this point, you'd have to say the third component for him would be radicalization of the Argentine economy. What is your understanding of his ambitions as a libertarian in a state that has a history into the 20th century, deep into it, of state domination? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Well, there's probably a difference between the many things that which you alluded to that Milei has said that he wants to do in theory as a libertarian and the way that things may play out. First, as you pointed out, after this past Sunday's election, we have a relatively short transition. Literally December 10th, just in a couple of weeks, is when Milei and his new team will take office. Now, given some of the sensitivity, he's basically taking over the steering of a car that's heading for a crash. Quick action needs to be done. I would mention that, first of all, in December, you have a new payment to that $44 billion IMF loan coming due, about $900 million, and figuring out where that money is going to come from, given that Argentina is about $10 billion in the arrears already on its on the credit it has to pay. In addition to that, of course, there's questions about trying to restore market confidence and renegotiating what comes next with the IMF. And so the selection of economy ministers and others will be very important in that regard. Just to emphasize that as Milei tries to take forward some of these new things, and he's talked about possibly restructuring and eventually eliminating the central bank. And one of the things that's going to have to happen also is a reevaluation of the currency. Markets are expecting it. Right now, the unofficial rate, the blue rate that they call it, is about 900 pesos per dollar. The official rate is 50. That's just unsustainable because it just drains the reserves when you try to defend that. And so what's expected is also probably shortly after takes office, there'll be a massive devaluation devaluation, which will maybe as much as 60-80%, which will also cause another inflationary shock. And so in the midst of those difficult decisions, literally coming in December, he will eventually try to look at some of the things that he's talking about doing. Important to point out that within the legislature, he has his party, La Libertad Avanza, has only 7 of 72 seats in the Senate and only 38, about a tenth of the 257 in the lower house. Now, he was strongly backed by the center right, the former National Security Minister Patricia Bullrich, as well as the prior president, Mauricio Macri. However, even with their party's full support, and there's some serious divisions on how far the center right wants to go in this agenda. But even if you add those two factions together, you still only get a total of 28 votes out of 72 you need in the Senate. You get about 132 out of the 257 in the House. And so this is a person who has been a talk show host as his entire career. He's used to doing things by shock and proclaiming what he wants and what he thinks, and not necessarily building political coalitions. And so, once he gets past the initial shock, the biggest thing that he's going to need to do is build coalitions if he wants to reduce the size of government, if he wants to cut spending, which will be fundamental, if he wants to restructure the central bank, if he wants to do some of these other things. And so likely we're going to have some serious polemics in the coming months. And the posture within the center right of Juntos de Cambio will be critical to see what, if anything, he can do as this crisis immediately jumps into him right as he gets into office.
He has an ally, a very powerful ally named Bullrich. Bullrich was a candidate along with him for the presidency, Patricia Bullrich. I'm told she comes from a prosperous family, which means this is Argentinian elite. I'm also told she served in a cabinet, I believe Macri's cabinet, for security, which is a problem in Argentina, I'm told. Looting and street crime are part of the disintegration of the culture. At the same time, her party has many seats in both the upper and lower house, and she has access to the previous administration that wasn't Peronist. This is the Macri one cycle ago. So is it likely that Patricia Bullrich will be in the cabinet or an advisor? She is someone who is skillful at building coalitions.
Well, I think, it's not clear whether it will be Bullrich herself, certainly that's possible, if even likely, and we'll probably see multiple different senior Juntos para Cambio figures in the cabinet, given that their support was so critical, both Bullrich as well as Macri in those days. Right now, the thing that we seem to know most is that Diana Mondino, a close ally, will probably be the foreign minister. But the other picks, especially, for example, the economy minister, and they're probably going to need somebody with a credible center-right credentials in order to negotiate and reassure markets in these very difficult times. And so I would expect that we'll probably see somebody respected within the Juntos para Cambio coalition in that regard. But what I'd also point out is that this is a critical moment for the future of Argentine politics. So on the one hand, what becomes of the future of Peronism, of the group that was in power for the better part of the past century? But also, what is the future of the center-right? Because on the one hand, if the center right goes essentially all in to support Milei, and things do not turn out well, this could be the fracturing and destruction of the center right and a return to a more populist left. On the other hand, if the center right essentially splits and his coalition is not able to get some of the things through, then Milei can very easily blame that on both the right and the left, in which case you open up Argentina to a different type of politics. And so the choices that the relatively divided right, who is on the fence about things like eliminating entire ministries, eliminating the system of transfers from the federal government to the state government, et cetera, et cetera. The decisions that the right makes on how far to back Milei, knowing that their future is dependent to some degree on him at least appearing to succeed, those choices will be fundamental in the future of Argentine politics for years to come.
The privatization part, I said radicalization, dollarization, privatization. That means that investor class will have a vote here. Are they going to weigh in on putting down their money, gambling that the state energy company or all the other companies that are state dominated will be privatized. That did not happen under Macri. Is it more or less likely now? Is this a hill that he can climb later, or is this something that can be done?
Some of these things will require legislative approval, so it remains to be seen how far he can go with respect to that. But it's interesting that investors seem decidedly on the fence. On the one hand, there are certain things that give him cause for hope, and indeed the peso actually picked up a little bit of strength. Markets actually got a little bit stronger on the news of his massive victory, with the hope that he will actually have a mandate after his 12-point lead. Talk about privatizing the state petroleum company, YPF, caused actually its shares to increase. But at the same time, this is the same group of investors who previously, on the news of his first round victory, basically tanked Argentine stocks because they anticipated that despite his libertarian orientation, that the chaos that he could introduce into policy could actually make things worse. And so I think investors right now are adopting a wait and see. Certainly, he's talked about privatization, and to a limited extent, that may be some of the things that his policies may cause, may be possible. And that will have opportunities for other actors, ironically, that he said that he doesn't want to deal with, including the Chinese, because it's one thing to say state policy will be X, and it's another thing to say that, okay, we're going to let the private sector do what they want for good or bad.
Foreign policy for the new Argentine president, Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. There's been a political earthquake in the New World. The foreign policy follows the domestic policy. Next, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bauer.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, is very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialously. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialously with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialously with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, is very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.